religion. It should matter how we think. And we're going to talk about the millennium, which I believe the millennium is future. We'll talk about, I even have a definition. We might start with the definition, but understand something, friend. We have many groups trying to create a millennium right here in America. And they think they're wiser and certainly think they're more moral than people in the past. And in order to have a millennium, according to the Bible, you're going to have some figure. We call that figure Christ, of course, who is wiser, more righteous. You know, that's the characteristics of a one that can bring in the millennium. We're going to try to do it without Christ, though, in America. And don't think it's just on the left. The left is the most vocal. They want to bring in a millennial-like thing. And by the way, and if you don't like the millennium, we'll force you to like the millennium. If you don't like gay marriage, we'll pass a law, okay? And if you don't like that, we'll call you a hater and charge you with hate speech. That's when we're going to make a millennium, period. Got it? That's the Barack Obama side. Now, if you can't see in Trump and some of his stupid, I'm not saying his choices for Supreme Court, which are excellent. I'm talking about in his rhetoric. And by the way, if you like his rhetoric, you and I are in wrong places. Because he is playing games from the right, trying to inflame people on things that are just as bad. All right, enough political. You say, who do you like? Neither one right now. Verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of whom? Jotham, Ahaz, and? Now, we're pretty sure in that list, Hezekiah was one of the two great kings post-Solomon. You know, Josiah, Hezekiah. Josiah was later. Uzziah was okay. The other ones, well, they were what they were. Now we're going to turn over to Micah chapter 4. And if you don't know where Micah is, just remember, any book you don't know where it's at, it's in the Minor Prophets. Go to chapter 1 first. Micah chapter 1 first. Now remember, Isaiah received his call to be a prophet during the days when he saw the Lord high and lifted up at the death of a king. Is that right? Yes, chapter 6. Micah chapter 1 verse 1 says, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshethite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So there's pretty much an overlap here, is that correct? All right, chapter 4 verse 1. And then you have, of course, this almost verbatim quote about the millennium, or what we call the millennium. Are you ready? But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in the paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people. You see, a millennial, any kind of what I'm going to use at the beginning, this term. And we'll talk about it. We talked about it last week. I'll repeat it again. Because Sir Thomas More that invented that word was playing a trick on English-speaking people, intentionally. But any kind of utopian vision requires Christ, or look at me, or a Christ-like figure. We call that guy Antichrist. So you had Hitler, yes or no? You had Stalin, and they took on themselves personas of Christ-like. They thought they were, acted like it. Stalin was the worst. If you ever hear a person refer to himself in third person, you should turn around and run. Do you know what third person is? It's when the leader, the comrade. Stalin would always refer to himself in third person. I heard a preacher do that one time. Every time he talked about himself, he didn't say I. He talked about third person. And if your English is not real good, then you won't get exactly what that means. Verse 3, He shall judge among many people, this is Christ, and he shall rebuke strong nations far off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall set every man, and this is an image, folks, this is an image, but it's an image of ultimate peace. Every man's going to sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. That is something we believe is yet future when Christ comes to rule and reign on the earth. We call this the millennium. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you in your notes on the first page a definition of the millennium, and then we're going to go back up to the chart right above that. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for this day. I would ask that you would help us as we consider these great truths. May we actually learn some things about even politics in general in this world. I believe people trying to create a pseudo-millennium are on every side. Christians need to understand what we have to stand against. Help us to hear this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In your notes, at the bottom of the first page, this is a definition of the millennium. Each piece of this definition is essential for us to understand a biblical millennium. I'm sure this is found in other places. This is my little summation, but I don't think there's anything unique here. So what is the millennium in the biblical sense? Well, it is the sovereign righteous rule and reign of the Messiah. Who's the Messiah? What's Messiah mean, Frenchie? What's Christ mean, Frenchie? Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one. Christ means, one's Greek, one's Hebrew, Mashiach, Christos. One's Greek, one's Hebrew, same thing. Christ is that one. By the way, you do not have a millennium without having Christ. Now, understand, we're going to talk a little bit for a few minutes about what people try to create on earth, but they'll always are going to have some sort of a Christ-like figure. Should that surprise you? Did Jesus say many Christ? Yes or no? Did 1 John say, little children, it is the last hour. And as you know that the Antichrist that shall come, even now there are many Antichrist. This shouldn't surprise anybody. People trying to pull off this sort of thing. So it is the righteous, sovereign, rule and reign of the Messiah or Christ on the earth. That is very important, which we'll see why hopefully today or next week. On the earth, from Jerusalem and the promised land. Jesus will not rule and reign from Chicago. Trust me. He will not rule and reign from New York. He will not rule and reign from London. He will rule and reign from the center of the biblical world, which is Jerusalem, during the millennium. It will be over the entire world or earth. This rule and reign will be over all peoples on this earth for 1,000 years. In some ways, the 1,000 years is not significant how long it is, but it is what Revelation 20 says. So it is the sovereign, righteous rule and reign of the Messiah, Christ, on the earth, from Jerusalem and the promised land, over the entire world or earth for 1,000 years. And I put this one here for free, with life, liberty, and justice for all. But understand, it will actually be for the first time justice for all. There won't be any quibbling. Look at me. Yesterday I saw a commercial. We're coming up to voting for governor. Is that correct? If you're from Illinois, we're going to vote for governor. We have a ridiculous bad choice, and we have an impotent choice. We have Bruce Rauner. Not mad at Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner has no ability. Why doesn't he have ability? Raise your hand and tell me why he has no power. Because the Democrats control the entire state. They not only have a majority, they have a supermajority in the House, which means the governor has no power. So you either vote for Bruce Rauner or you're going to vote for Pritzker. And by the way, Pritzker, I love this guy. And the kids out here are saying, who's Pritzker? Pritzker says, I'm only going to raise taxes on the rich. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Why? Because you've been down this road before. How is it then that normal people become rich every single time? Let me ask you a question. Do you really think that Pritzker is going to tax his riches? Oh, he's a billionaire, folks. He passed that millionaire stuff up a long time ago. Then I got a question. How can a guy get on TV, look out there at the public, and say, I'm here to help you? You know, Ronald Reagan said it best. He says, the worst news you've ever heard is when the government comes and says, we're here to help you. You better watch yourself. You say, who's the good guy? I don't know, but I do know this. Unfortunately, we don't have the power in Congress in the state of Illinois to even fight the Democrats. And by the way, if you don't have the power, that means one group absolutely controls. And then you have Pritzker coming saying, I'm not going to raise any taxes on the poor people or the middle class. Middle class is actually going to get a tax break. And I'm like, I've been hearing this since I was a kid. How many times can they tell the same lie? What did Hitler say? The bigger the lie, more people believe it. All right. We'll move on from there. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I believe the millennium will be a place for life, liberty, and the justice for all. And lastly, it will come out of the pure worship of God. Every passage refers back to this. During the millennium, we'll worship, everybody on earth will worship the living, true God. Now, until that time, notice in your notes, and it's on the board here, I use the term utopian. If I asked 99% of Americans what utopia means, a large portion won't even know what the word utopia really means. Those who do will usually be wrong. They're normally going to say it is a good place, or maybe this, an ideal place. So politics has generally tried to invent this. Why? Because it starts back here with this. Now please, young people, maybe I speak to you. Don't you want people to have freedom? Don't you want people to have opportunity? Kim and Haley, you are of Hispanic descent, yes? Do you think that maybe we should discriminate against people of Hispanic descent and say you don't have opportunity in this country? You want to have opportunity, correct? Are there, look at me, but don't get nervous. Most countries around the world discriminate. It's only fools that think only America has a discrimination problem. Is there any discrimination problems in Cameroon? Of course there is. There's a problem every place you go. We figure out a way of having one group that doesn't like the other group. By the way, I like it that America wants to, my goal in this school is to give kids the tools so they can go out into the world and succeed to the best of their God-given ability. That's this here, folks. You have a dream. There's nothing wrong with the dream. There's nothing wrong with wanting people to succeed and be healthy and happy and safe and all those. Is there? Do you think I want young people to be killed? I don't want to see any murder rates in Chicago go up. I prefer them to be zero. I don't want to see cops having to shoot people. I'd prefer that never to happen. How about you? That's a dream that we all have. The problem with the dream that I started on last week, and I'll repeat again, it is in your notes. You have a problem with the dream. It starts out with this. We have an unrealistic view of what? Of human nature. What's that mean, friend? Are people, look at me in the eyes, young people. All of you guys in the future, we're going to put you on an island someplace. Just all of the young people here. You're going to start your new society. The Lord of the Flies, you remember that. Yeah, things turned out well there, didn't they?
Children left to themselves always.
No, but they're all good. Aren't all of you good?
Yeah.
Yes, and you can already see who the evil leader is right there. Tupper Jr., he's got that evil coming out his ears. I can see it. The problem is, friend, anytime you have a government, I don't care what government it is, you have to start with a realistic view of, look at me, human nature. Now, I challenge some of you. Now, I recognize some of us don't read, and reading is like, read the Federalist Papers. You read these, you're going to be shocked. They're going to be talking about human nature. Because these old boys from the 1700s that founded our country recognized, if I put this group together, we're going to have an evil tupper. And that evil tupper is going to want to be in charge. And that evil tupper's, look at me, he's going to want to tax the rich so he can get richer. They recognize that. Do you hear me? We built a government that, kind of the best way to describe our government, if you think about it, is we have a government that fights itself. And you don't like that fighting. Oh, I love that fighting. That's what keeps us in balance. Because if you have anybody that has, I think Abraham Lincoln said something like, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You get anybody that has power. So I can see Tupper. You make me nervous already. He's got that evil smile. He looks like a politician, doesn't he? My friend, our biggest problem is, so in India today, Sam, I know you have the problem with the Hindus wanting to make India Hindu again, correct? And they're all nice people, right? And by the way, and if you don't appreciate their opinions, they're going to oppress you, correct? Because, see, here's your problem. Here's the Hindus, here's the Muslims, and here's the Christians in India. The moment you get a group in power, they think their group is good. Hello? And if you over there disagree with their group, they don't understand. You must be bad. So we're going to force you. We're going to oppress you. Do you understand government? And some of you read the Bible in the millennium like this is a fantasy stuff. Folks, there'll never be a millennium without Christ, because otherwise you always have evil human nature, which always wants power. Now, how do you deal with that evil tupper? The older tupper, he's not evil, is that right? No, he's not he's a little more sophisticated about his evil. See, he's a little more under the table. This one here is right in your face, man. I'm evil. Listen, how do you deal with it? In our culture, we put those guys, one of you's in the Congress, one of you becomes president, someone else gets on the Supreme Court, and they fight each other. Because they realize the only way you can keep evil under check in America is by having the fight. Checks and balances, exactly. Otherwise, my group is good, right? Yes. Next, I think I said in your notes, and this is even harder. There's also this not only unrealistic view of mankind's nature, but it's an optimistic view, and I won't write all of this here except optimistic. How did I state it exactly? It's an optimistic view of man's goodness. And wisdom. You see, there's three things that have to happen. You have to have goodness, you have to have wisdom, and you have to have no evil intent. And your problem is what? Most of us are pretty short of real human goodness. Most of us, by the way, I'm talking about us. Drop the religion. I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about pagans. You say, boy, if Christians were in charge. Christians, here's the problem. We do certain things here. For instance, I don't have a clue whether I would steal money. I don't allow myself that opportunity. Is that right? We do things with the money here. Well, I never see it. Nobody lets me see it. And I'm happy with that. Frenchie over here. Now, I'm going to say something to him and about him. He's a little OCD. Did any of you know that? He can't stand for things to be out of, not out of order, out of his order. So Frenchie's had to be told many times, do not count money alone. Ron, why do I tell him that? Because I don't trust Frenchie. To protect him and to protect this church. I trust Frenchie. Not as much as his daughter, of course, or his wife, but I trust that old geezer. But my friend, you do things to protect people, yes or no? As a pastor, I don't write checks, I don't balance a checkbook, nobody gives me money, so, but I know churches where the pastor does the bookkeeping, or his wife. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, that scares me to death. You say, but you're a Christian. Listen, I trust this guy here more than just about anybody I've ever met. I don't think he would steal, but what would? But I don't think I should ever put him or me or you in a position where you have no, what's the word again? No checks and balances. How about that? You like that? I'm dealing with what? Human nature. Barack Obama used to say this, so some of you understand him. He would say things like this. We don't look to the past, we just look to the future. Most of you would not know what that refers to. We don't need to think about what those founding fathers thought. They're stupid white people. We're smarter than them, and we have more innate goodness than they have. My problem is I think he's wrong, 100%. And actually, I think our founding fathers had a pretty good understanding of this. They had a real good understanding of human nature, that humans weren't good, especially when it comes to power and money. Now, we move from a utopian dream to utopia. Utopia, most people think, is good. I said this last week. If you want to just write OU or EU, if you haven't written this in your notes, most people think utopia means this, a good place. Because epsilon, upsilon in Greek, or EU, and we have this in the word, I wrote down some words, we have this in several words. We have it in the word eulogy, euphoria. We talked about Mike having euphoria in Vietnam, I think. Euphemism, eugenics. Now, eugenics is a bad thing, but eugenics means good birth, good genes. Okay? But the problem is, he used this here, which is actually this, which is no place. Sir Thomas More, that created that word, was making fun of American, not Americans, English. You're looking, really what you're trying to do is create heaven, and that doesn't exist on earth. Now, I'm going to say this real quickly. We have Nelu and his lovely wife over here. They grew up in a country where they experienced, look at me everybody, liberation by Stalin. Is that what you called it, liberation? Stalin came in there and liberated Romania, which then became what? The ultimate oppression. Because here's the thing, friend. In most places in the world, you have a problem on the left, and you have a problem on the right. Both of them, though, end up looking identical. If you took Stalin at his worst, and he was always bad, and you took Hitler at his worst, they look like the same people. They started in different places. The left generally works this way, rich and poor. If you work for a union, it's what? The union against the bosses or the owners. But it's a specific kind. It's usually an economical issue. So when Lenin took over Russia, the people were poor. The object to get the people wealthy was, we're going to get rid of the Tsar. Within 15 minutes, Lenin and Stalin and later looked just like the Tsars. You see, because when you get to the utopia and you haven't dealt with this, human nature, and that we're not basically good, we have inclinations to evil, and we're not that wise. We think we're wise. Can I ask you a question? This is a young person issue, not your age. My daughter-in-law can drive me crazy over health. She's always up to date on the latest, the thing that's going to cure all your health problems. The latest study. Here's the problem. The latest study tells you, I literally read a study recently that you need to take more salt. Yeah, exactly. What? Then you read another study that says, you ought to drink a glass of wine a day. Then the latest study said, no, you shouldn't drink a glass. You're like this. Why is that? Because We're not that smart, but we think we are. We think we have the cures of all people's problems. We can wave a magic wand. Now, where I want to go, and I'm going to go here quickly, is this. Oh, by the way, Mike, it's us and them, but the right uses us and them too, but it uses a different us and them. It's not economic. Or may I say this, it's not economic first. It's usually take a breath. Now, our church is a mixed church. If I said this in some churches, I'd have white people eating me alive. Is it patriotism? Is that close? Whatever. There you go. It's close to that. If you follow Hitler, how did he rise to power? Was the economy bad? The economy was terrible. But he didn't do that by saying, we're going to take the rich people's money. He did by saying, we're going to restore the Aryan people. Now, how many of you in this room might have some German descent? Frenchie, you raise your hand. Now, let me tell you the really bad news. The Aryan myth was a real myth. Not only is it a myth, if you get your DNA checked today, let me tell you the bad news, and this really breaks my heart. Because there's only one group on earth that I don't like. You say, who are they? French. Do you know that ethnically German and French are the same? So when you get this information back from your DNA, it's going to say German, French, and you're like, well, I'm not French. Do you know the history of that part of the world? Do you know who Charlemagne was? I mean, you know, they come from the same peoples. So I'm related to Frenchie. That really bothers me, friend. That's deep bothers me. My point is, the right tends to use patriotism. What did Mussolini use? I'm going to revive the old Roman Empire. Hitler, the Third Reich. Folks, it uses a form of patriotism which tends to be, look me in the eyes, racist. We were always white in this country. When? So, extreme right, extreme left, look at me, they end up being exactly the same movement. Because that's when you come to dystopia. You say, what in the world is dystopia? Well, I think I have this in your notes. Dystopia means, well, in a nutshell, a terrible place. Or bad place. I don't think I write that in here. Why so? Because if you want to know where a movement's coming from, please look at me. Can we in America live with gay people? Well, the answer is, well, we've been living with gay people since the beginning of our country. Could we even survive gay marriage? But see, the problem is, once you get to this, here, folks, look at me, the no place. Whoever's in charge wants to force you to exist in this world. So they start doing, it's in your notes. And our friends from Romania could tell you about, and they're young. I talked to Pastor Joseph San, of course, and a lot of the men that were imprisoned over at Baptist. When the communists took over, Ceausescu, he was a wonderful guy. When they were in charge of Romania, you didn't really have a choice but to go along, or you would be eliminated. We're not that far in this country, because what you end up having is this. This becomes state-sponsored terror. Do you understand terror from the state? I would say a little bit in Cameroon, they're playing that game now. They're trying to make people afraid, so you'll just shut up and go along. I'm going to guess India is going to be the same thing. They're going to use terror to some degree. Next, fear, obviously. So you start having a state, and by the way, it becomes state-sponsored. You understand state-sponsored. Look at me. Right now in Canada, if I'm in Canada pastoring a Baptist church like this, if I say gay marriage is wrong, you do understand that is a hate crime. You can go to jail. This isn't maybe. This isn't if you pray about it. Canada is just a little more liberal than we are. Do we have anybody that would like to have that in America? Yes, we do. On the left, they want to enforce that. where not only you can, by the way, I'm not into hurting people. I work with gay people in hospitals for years. That doesn't mean I hate them, but it doesn't mean I necessarily think that's right. But they don't even want, they want to come to even policing what? Your thoughts. How about this? What's the First Amendment say? We have the freedom of speech. Wait a minute. We do every place but on American universities. They now have safe spaces. They want to put you in jail if you disagree with them. Don't you understand we're in this nonsense right now because the left wants to... The utopia doesn't happen. What it ends up being, it becomes a terrible place because you have fear, you have forms of terror, and lastly is ideology. You have some form of ideology where your children starting in K-4 in the public school will learn about gay lifestyle. And look at me, I've said this before, I have the picture on my phone. My mother had nine brothers, eight who lived. Now these are all farm boys. Out of those eight brothers, one of them, got to hear me exactly, is effeminate. You know what effeminate means? He's not gay or anything, but he is, he's just not, the other guys are just cornbread, hard-nosed farmers. Rough. He's soft. He likes colors. He could come here and talk to women about the color of their carpet and their flowers and their curtains. And I could go to your house for 100 years and never see your curtains. He could tell you the color of them. He can talk about fuchsia, whatever that is. Hold on. Now, my uncle is married, has children, has grandchildren. He might even have great-grandchildren, okay? But today, if he was in K-4 in a public school, the social worker, you do know they have a social worker, would pull him aside and say, you know, you could be gay. Shut your mouth. That's in your country. That comes directly from Barack Obama's left side of liberalism. Why do you think the left, now again, Trump gives the left a lot of ammunition. He's out of control, he can't shut his mouth, and he can't stay on message. I'll just say this right to you. I like his some of his politics. I like his judges. But you would never want to work for this guy, really, would you? He can't stay on message. He's got a mouth that's open all the time. But the reason they hate him some is he's rolling back what they try to enforce. Hey, look at me. You'll either be for gay marriage or you're going to jail. That happens in every time you have a utopian dream that has a wrong view of human nature and they think, I'm good, and in the past they were bad, but we're good and we're smart, it doesn't take very long till that group starts oppressing people who disagree with them. The utopia becomes a dream, and you move right here to this, and we're this far from it. I'll say it, you don't have to agree with me. If Hillary Clinton had been president for 8 years, we would have been in a real dystopia and probably near war because her idea is I'm going to force you to agree with what I believe. Now, stop, take a breath. There's elements on the far right in this country that aren't, they're just on the other side. So Pastor Warren is not saying the left is the only evil place. Let me ask you a question. Who would you rather have, Hitler or Stalin? How about neither one? They come from different places, but they end up doing exactly the same things. And our friends over here, you guys were young. Stalin was dead before you were born, correct? But Ceausescu was alive, that's for sure. So you remember very well. And some of you don't even know who Ceausescu was. He came to a very happy ending, correct? They shot him. They eliminated them. So, any questions on this? Do you understand this? And what's the real problem? We're trying to create a good place without somebody that's wise enough and good enough to create it. We want the millennium without the Messiah. And we've been wanting that a long time. So the next time you vote for a candidate and you say, boy, he's my guy or she's my woman, I am very subdued. I vote a certain way for moral principles and things of that nature, But I don't see anybody on the horizon that I can say, I'm only going to bow one direction. How about you? That doesn't mean we shouldn't work for a better society. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to pass laws that help our country. But do not think you are so smart, or we are so much smarter than them. Here's the funny part. All those people that think they're smarter than our founding fathers can't even read the Federalist Papers. That's what I find ironic. We're brilliant. Questions, thoughts, comments? This is your time. No thoughts. Everybody's like, Brother Mike.
It's not so much like a linear or a line. Here's the far right and here's the far left. It actually comes down to a circle.
Of course it does. But it didn't start there. See, what I want to tell you is where it starts. It starts in different places. But when it comes out, it ends up being dystopian, meaning terrible place. And if you're in Ukraine in 1932 and 33 when Stalin's at his heyday and you disagree with his collectivist policies, so he just enforces a famine and kills off a few million. And if you're Mao Zedong in the 1960s and you say, who's Mao Zedong? Well, he decided to have one of his many little revolutions. He just kills people by the tens and hundreds of thousands. Because you will be happy. That's kind of the idea. And Hitler did the same. I mean, you know, anybody that opposed him was gone in a New York second. Hitler's problem was he went to a country that was broken over war, that was impoverished, and he started rallying people around being German. And there's nothing wrong with being ashamed of being American, but he took it too far. And by the time people realized what was up, it was too late to change. Well, and you always create an enemy. It's the Jews, it's the gypsies, it's whoever. Yes. All right. Next page, please. We'll begin. Unless someone else has other questions. Actually, you know what? We're not going to begin. You have 5 minutes. Let's pray and we'll be done. Father, thank you for this morning. Bless our time in Christ's name. We'll be here next week starting in the actual information. Thank you.